Every developer building an app on Windows 10 has to do the same boilerplate business. Wouldn't it be great if there was a template out there that did all that for you in a great way so that you could focus on all the value you want your app to bring? Lucky for us, there it is. It's Template 10, and that's what we're talking about on this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Darren May, and we're here to talk about Template 10, the new template for apps being built for Windows 10. And before we get talking about all of that, Darren, I've never had you on Dev Radio before. We've had MVAs together. Hi.
Hello.
Just in case nobody knows who you are, Darren, give us a little shortcut of who you are. You live here in Colorado with me, and not with me, but
not with you. I think it's important to note that it's not with you.
I know. I would kill you if we lived together. It would be awful. But we live at an adequate distance, and nonetheless, you work for, own, our president of, founder of, and all those other things.
All of the above.
Crank 211. Give us a little short of it.
Sure, Crank 211, we're a digital agency. We like to build next generation experiences. We do it with a number of different platforms, including Windows 10.
There you go. All right, well, that's you got the elevator pitch down for sure.
Shoom.
And it's really needless to introduce much more of you. I mean, you're just a super developer. You know everything there is to know about everything. That's kind of the short of it.
Humble. Don't forget humble.
And I may not be the smartest. I may not be the tallest. I may not be the sharpest, but I am the most humble. All right. Very good. All right. Now, what we're really here to talk about is Template 10 for Windows apps that are being built for Windows 10. And let's talk about kind of the genesis of where it all came from. You and I are both authors of Template 10. So we're sort of interviewing one another on this one and kind of introducing it to the developer community at large. We've done it a little bit, right? There's the Developer's Guide for Windows 10 on Microsoft Virtual Academy. That talks about Template 10 and how to leverage it. But we also have other things both in the pipeline, and they're already produced as well. They're talking about Template 10. I think
Absolutely.
It makes sense for, including the hands-on labs for Windows 10. I don't know. Those will be public soon as well, and so those will include, they'll include all kinds of magic. All right, so let's go to the genesis of Template 10. I think that's where we want to start with. There is no Template 10. Let's go back a handful of months. What's the motivation?
Well, I think really we both recognized that there was a lack of get-you-started code in really building professional applications that, you know, if we look at the Windows 8 era, there were a number of out-of-the-box templates that shipped as part of the SDK that people used, perhaps some
grid view or the grid template and the split view or split page template.
The hub and those other templates and so on. And
I think wasn't grid, it was hub, you're right.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just used those templates and just ran with it, and every app ended up looking the same. But there was a whole bunch of boilerplate code that you had to keep writing over and over and over again every time you wanted to build something that went beyond those samples. And I think, you know, you with your blog and the activities you were doing in Microsoft Evangelism, you were being called upon to write a lot of samples for people to give them guidance on how to get going. And myself, with the applications that I was building, I was kind of reinventing the same wheels. And as you and I started to collaborate, I think it just made sense for us to smack our heads together and actually start combining what we were doing.
I think the heart of it really goes back to last November. You and I did a two-day Microsoft Virtual Academy on universal apps.
Yeah.
We built an app together called Solarizer. It was like the perfect model app of everything we could dream of to put in there. And we built it, and then we tried to simplify it, and then build it, and then simplify it, and build it, and simplify it. We started realizing there were so many repetitive pieces that every app needed to do. And so we actually leveraged Prism, right? It was the Patterns and Practices Prism for store apps. And that library was really written for Windows 8 Universal Apps. And it is an awesome first step, right? It really was. It allowed us to simplify the application, class itself. It allowed us to handle navigation in a better way. All these little pieces that were like, this is where it should have been all along. Template 10 steals a lot of great ideas from
Inspired by.
Yeah. Inspired by. That's what I meant to say. Hey, that's the – there's a – But a lot of great ideas came over from it, and yes. it's so much more than Prism, because Prism kind of went to a certain place and stopped, and then there are these handful of other things that just kind of needed to be done in order to make a Windows app a Windows app. And so that's kind of, Templeton is sort of, it finds its roots in the hardship that you and I had building Solarizer and the repetitiveness of all the demos and things that I write and then the apps that you write, as well as what we learned from Prism and kind of have learned along the way. I think one of the cool stories we'll get to eventually with Template 10 is there's a lot of collaboration inside Microsoft, because you're a vendor, right? You're outside Microsoft. Yep. And so inside Microsoft, there's a lot of fingers kind of in the pie that are working to really add to Template 10 to make it as good as possible, including some of the patterns and practices guys, which I think is pretty cool.
It is cool.
The platform guys, the dev div guys, I mean, it's really cool how many people are at least getting their eyes on it and kind of talking to us, giving us good counsel, as well as, golly, there is just a massive herd of community contributors.
Herd.
Finding the nerd herd, who are totally finding these tiny little esoteric problems in these crazy scenarios, and then boom, it's fixed.
It's become a huge sort of gain of bandwidth, you know, because you and I only have so much time we can focus on actually expanding beyond what we've already built, whereas you've got these multiple sets of eyes and fingers and hands that's pounding away on the keyboard, turning our user controls into templated controls and content controls and so on and so forth. It's just amazing to see what people are doing.
And, I mean, we're doing a lot here without everybody first, because you're working on the next rev of Solarizer for some classes that are coming. And that causes us to, like, how are we going to handle authentication? How are we going to handle multiple views? How are we going to handle all of these things that they're pretty high-end things, honestly. And a lot of apps may never even hit those barriers where they're like, oh, I never even thought about having multiple UI threads and things like that. Lucky for them, we're doing it, and we're making sure that it works along the way as well. So there's a lot of benefits. But we're just talking about it by name, Template 10. Let's talk about what it is. So is it a library? Is it a template? Is it a code sample? What is it? What is Template 10? You go ahead.
Well, I'd say yes.
It's a setup question and a half, Darren.
Let me give you the answer and you just nod.
That's right.
Good job, Jerry. It's all of those things and none of them to a certain extent. You know, in effect, we're providing a framework, a starting point for these applications. It's a vehicle by which we can deliver these services, these reusable helpers. We also create kind of a bootstrapping environment that sets up that basic framework. But we also include a bunch of samples. There's samples in terms of apps that implement certain types of things that you're going to see typically in Windows 10, as well as a couple of basic templates. And so, you know, that's almost the template in Template 10. So it's broken into a couple of different parts, really. We've got the GitHub repository where you can get everything. We've got NuGet package, which gives us the binaries that you can incorporate into existing applications. Yep. And then we've got the Visual Studio extensions that give you new templates that you can install into Visual Studio to start up and create projects from scratch using Template 10.
Yeah. I think if we were to roll it all the way back to when we were first putting this together, but there's two templates, two project templates, one called Blank, one called Minimal. Originally, there was just one. And we were putting as little in as possible. What if we just added one file, right? Because we're going to need that one file. And then we're going to need one more file to make that file, because you wouldn't really put them together. You need to abstract it a little. Like, well, there's one feature missing. We need one more. Pretty soon, there were, you know, 20 files in the blank template, and it seemed a little not blank, basically.
Yeah, it was kind of anti-blank.
And they were the files that really we didn't want developers going in and messing with, because there was no need. This really is a fully encapsulated kind of scenario that you don't need to go in and kind of mess with. And
yeah, I mean, let's touch on that for a second, because those files there was really the fact that we find it very difficult to build any app without using MVVM. And so we ended up adding these MVVM files because we're like, okay, we don't want to be too opinionated.
Like bindable-based, delegate command, how can you get away with just those two? I mean, you got to get at least those.
And so we put those into Minimal, and we put those into Blank, and it's like, well, everybody's going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah,
why don't we put them into Template 10 so they're there for people, but they don't have to use them.
That's right. And then how do we prevent people from thinking Template 10 is an MVVM framework, because now, well, template 10 provides a delegate command. I guess that's all I need. That's not what we wanted to be either. We just wanted to get people off the ground. If they don't use an MVVM framework, there's enough there to get them by. And if they do use an MVVM framework, we don't compete. Right? We want to make it so that they could use it as well. Yeah.
That then requires us to do such a struggle. Yeah.
We took those files. I mean, here's where that story ends. We took all those files.
Yeah.
And we put them in a library instead, so that both the blank and the minimal templates could just reference that library.
Yeah.
That's how it all kind of ended. And the upside to that is that also made it so template 10 could be referenced by third or any existing project as well now. So they don't have to say file new project in order to use all the benefits of template 10. You can have an existing project and just go to NuGet, type in template 10, and there it is waiting for you. And you add it, and you use what you want to use. If you only want our services, if you only want our helpers, great. You know, that's all you need to have. And that's kind of what we meant to be. If you want to go in and actually change your app XAML CS so it's not using application, but instead it's using our bootstrapper, even better. You're going to get all these other benefits as well. So I think that was a good move. I liked when that kind of, I don't know, evolution of template 10 finally
took. Yeah, it made sense because it also, the other things that were troubling us was how do we add features that are essential or fix bugs that have crept in or whatever. Yeah. If you're stuck with having to manually cut and paste code in to fix bugs, it becomes problematic. NuGet at least provides us that vehicle to update the package and get those fixes in.
Yeah, and I've only submitted one breaking change to template 10, so there's that one thing in NuGet. But we're way past that now.
We're past that. It'll never happen again.
I will never have a breaking change again in template 10. That is my guarantee to mankind. Without a major version change. It was this minor version. This is a needless side story.
Version 2.0, all bets are off.
So what's in template 10? The library itself really is the core of all the benefits, right? It's the blank is really just the basic implementation. All it does is implement Bootstrapper on AppXAML, and that's it. And then minimal shows like a hamburger menu implementation and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more, shows some settings and things that get you pretty far along the way.
So let's
you
talk
could go
about
either one and get the same benefit. Yeah. So let's talk about template 10, the library, and what's in it. And let's start with why did we want to replace the application, right? So we know that the core class that executes for all XAML applications is the application class. Obviously, you can't get rid of it, but I could subclass it. And we ended up subclassing and then sealing a whole bunch of methods away so that there are only a handful of overrides you even have an option for now. Talk to us about kind of the strategy that we're going through.
So I think when we first looked at the app class, we really said that there's too much plumbing in here that if you want to do anything that strays away from the standard, it's going to be a navigation app with a frame in your root control. You're going to rewrite that stuff every time.
Yeah.
And equally, a lot of people never really spent much time actually understanding what was going on in the launched event handler, and certainly understood the why it was re-entrant and why it was checking to see if the window current content was set to something and whether it was set to a frame and whether the frame had content and trying to understand, okay, this was re-entrant and so on and so forth.
Right. Should I recreate the frame now or not? Because you have both activated and launched. Yeah.
Yeah. So
and a developer goes in and tweaks that code that comes out of the out of the box template. Mm-hmm. It's very brittle because there's so much going on there, and it's very important.
Yeah. Well, I actually counted because I did an MVA last week, and there's 29 different activation kinds. 29.
Yeah,
right
keep
now.
That straight in your mind. And
exactly.
some activation kinds actually launch instead of activate. Some activate instead of launch, even if your app's not running. And so now developers not only need to keep track of which of the 29 they want to do, they also need to keep track of exactly what the entrance workflow is into their application. Yeah. That's what we've changed. Right now, it used to be there was an on activated and an on launched. Of course, that's still there, but we've sealed those away so you can't override those. Now there's just on started, and everything is brought together. We still pass that same activation kind, so if that's really important to you, you can still use it, but you don't have to worry about where your code actually belongs. This is especially important when you get when you make these scenarios more complex with suspension and resuming, right? And how are you going to now? Where are you going to do? And which one? Where do you activate the frame again? And it does it still need to be recreated or not? And so all of that is just super simplified into started. So on start, on started async.
And that's even without considering what we want to do if we want to have an extended splash. Because then if you're trying to roll your own to deal with extended splash, now you've got to turn around and say, okay, I need to inject my splash screen into the window current content and then work out how I'm going to get my navigation frame and everything else in place after I've finished doing whatever I'm doing in my extended splash and so on. So yes, we made that much, much simpler. Hopefully at not the cost of obscuring details so that people really don't have a concept of what's actually going on.
Yeah. And for those developers who feel like, oh, but I needed that one thing, every possible way of entering an app is brought into OnStart. It's not you're not missing anything, and every possible argument that would have been passed to you is forwarded into that method. So you get everything all the way through, regardless of how you're going to activate your application. So there's no loss. It's not bringing it down. It's just simplifying the API a little bit. Probably, I can't speak for the team, but probably how the team would have done it if they could do it all over again. That's what I like to think, at least. Yeah. There's a
that's
you're like right.
Humility creeping in.
Yeah, maybe. That's right. Yeah, exactly. My idea is clearly better than the entire team and the way they think. Oh well.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the replacement of application. It does a couple of other things behind the scenes, including it creates the first navigation service, it creates the first dispatch reference and all these other things so that you can get them later. So it does quite a bit of other things, but at its heart, it really is just trying to simplify the way your application begins. So that's if you took that away, that's all Template 10 really needs to be.
That's all it needs to be, but I think, you know, you touched on navigation service there, and I think that's one of the significant value adds that the framework brings as well, is if you use the navigation service and if you use the iNavigable on your view models, you get all of the navigation lifecycle events passed straight into your view model rather than just being received by your code behind in your page. And I think that adds an awful lot to those who want to build MVVM-based applications.
Yeah, I think we most developers know that when navigating to a page, they get on-navigated to, on-navigated from on the page. And then they've got to figure out how to use those activation overrides to cause their view model to also react, and so passing parameters or however they might think of it doing it made it very difficult. And so what we've changed is now there's an on navigated to, on navigated from, and also an on navigating from with cancellation arguments in the view model. So if your view model inherits or implements iNavigable, you get all of that, and as you navigate to it, the navigation service looks for that interface, finds it, sends it to, and if you don't use a view model, nothing breaks. We don't care that you use a view model, but if you do and you implement iNavigable, then that was the first change from the DevTiv team.
It was, wasn't it?
The change.
Yeah.
What did I call it? The first one. iNavigatable. iNavigatable. Right.
Yeah.
Boy, now it's
But wait, there's more, because the other thing that we did with the navigation service was that allowed us to put in a replacement for the suspension manager that disappeared out of the blank template that you get as part of the Windows 10 SDK.
Yeah.
You know, in 8.1 and 8.0, we had some of those boilerplate code that was injected into the template that gave you a suspension dictionary for easily being able to manage suspend and tracking progress and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
By being able to use navigation service and inject it into the view model, we can pass in state dictionaries that people can use very simply to manage their state should they need to.
Yeah, that's a big win, because conceptually we have brought in the suspension manager, but practically speaking, it's not the same, because you get a view into the suspension manager passed to your on-navigated to and passed to your on-navigated from, so you can read and write from that as you need to suspend. So I think that's another big win, that just another thing that developers don't have to go find, add, and then do it again. Bindable base was another one that we included. As far as MVVM, and I think you've already said it, and I'll just repeat it, that we can't imagine making an XAML app without MVVM. But we realize not all developers feel that way, right? And I think they just haven't gotten there yet, if you ask me. But not all developers feel that way, so fine.
Jerry Humble Nixon.
Yeah, you don't have to. But if you do, there are a handful of things. If you don't want to bring in a library, at least out of the box, you do have bindable base. We have three delegate commands. We have a standard delegate command, and then we have a generic delegate command that handles the command parameter. Mm-hmm. And now we have an awaitable delegate command, which is really a way of having compound commands, but that's pretty advanced, so forget that one for now. But they're all sitting there. Just a lot of it is just meant to be source code for developers to steal if they want it. And I think we found a lot of things don't belong in template 10. We started creating the samples projects because we started adding all this stuff to template 10. We're like, God, getting all bloated for nothing. When really we're just trying to show developers how to make it. And one example is...
Well, we were trying to get out maintenance, like, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. one was like login, right? You were messing with login because of the next version of Solarizer.
Yeah.
And you came up with a great solution, and we're trying to roll it in to template 10. And it was just a lot of – it felt a little heavy to having something.
It felt heavy, and the problem with it was that not all login implementations are going to follow the same workflow. And so ultimately, once you abstracted it away, it was something that was very simple and lightweight but didn't belong in template 10.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, we learned this in the original Solarizer that one of the things that we'll have in every application is some abstraction of the APIs as services. And so, boy, the first Solarizer probably had 12 services. One of them, which we include out of the box, of course, is navigation service. Another one out of the box in template 10 is the keyboard service that gives us a reliable way to use keystrokes. It's so challenging to get right.
Yes.
And there's a third one. Oh, and the settings service, reading and writing from the settings dictionaries and serializing everything properly. So that's where, and casting it all, you know, none of that's built in. And so now it's all built in. Those are the three services that we include in the library, but we have all the other services from Solarizer reworked for Windows 10 and included in a special services folder in GitHub that developers can go steal that code as well. So there's another nice suite of things
that I'm sure we'll keep adding to without overburdening the NuGet package and so on and so forth. You know, there's obviously some things in there that have actually been superseded by new Windows 10 APIs. I think we've got a map service in there that wrapped the Bing map API. And now that's completely included within the Windows 10 platform, so don't need that anymore. But it's still there just for the heck of it.
We've gotten to the point where template 10 is stable, and now there's some edge cases that we're trying to make work. Once we get those edge cases happy, we'll probably start pruning away some of those services, to be honest, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I think there's some things that we can do that will be useful, such as paging data sources that understand to when you reach out to additional data element or data services to bring back additional pages of information. I think that's a useful thing to have at a framework level. I'm not sure whether we put it in template 10 or whether it goes in the service or whatever. But a couple of those I think are sufficiently gnarly but also well aligned for reuse that it makes sense to kind of encapsulate those, because you've solved it, I've solved it in the past, so why not share those?
So I have an application today. It's a Windows 10 app. I've been working on it for a little while, and I didn't know about template 10. Now I know about template 10. Sounds like it's got a lot of stuff that I've been writing, and I don't want to have to test it all, so I can use yours. I could go to NuGet, install it, and there are no immediate changes necessary, right? I mean, it's right away value to me. I don't get to use the navigation service because the navigation service relies on template 10 kind of controlling the application. But outside of that, everything else is for me. If I like this idea of a keyboard service or a setting service or all that, there's a whole slew of helpers in the utility namespace, like XAML helpers, color helpers, things like that.
Resources.
All that's available to me as well. And so from that side, it's really valuable to me. I may never replace application, right? And for whatever reason.
Yeah, depending upon where you are, you know, if you've invested hundreds of hours into an application, it's highly unlikely you're going to go back and refactor all of those things.
Got it.
But if you're at the beginning of your app life cycle, and you're thinking, okay, I'm getting to the point where maybe I want to have a framework that's going to help me out here. It may be worthwhile considering it, and it's not too burdensome to change your app class to implement Bootstrapper.
No, it's really not. Yeah, it's really, really not.
Now, most of it's deleting code, to be honest, depending upon how complex your startup cycle happens to be. So I think, you know, there's a lot of avenue there for people to do it, to adopt it if they're in work in progress.
Now, another thing you might be tempted by Template 10 is the controls that come in it. So this is not, I mean, this is an important philosophy of Template 10, right? We are not an MVVM framework. I use MVVM Lite. I know that there are some implementations in Template 10 that I'll use from time to time, but it was important for us to have those implementations so that we didn't have to include MVVM Lite in Template 10. Because what if you use Caliburn? Or what if you use Cross?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want to make that kind of feel like they're in contradiction to one another. Mm-hmm. So we have a few, you know, small implementations, but then you bring in your own.
Yeah, I mean,
also not a control library. But tell me what you were saying.
I was going to say, the things that we don't implement that are in typical MVM frameworks are things like loosely coupled events, you know, the messages, those kind of things. So we're not touching any of that.
Also dependency injection.
Absolutely.
We don't have any containers or anything like that.
Yeah,
because
so
how frustrating would it be to use Template 10 and then be forced to use, I don't know, even Unity, right? Unity's not what you want because you're going to use, I've lost track of another one now.
Inject.
Of Inject, right. I use Inject instead. I don't use Unity and now they make me, so all of that, that was very important to us to make it so that this played with anything. It played with absolutely anything.
Well, we want it to be an inclusive framework rather than an exclusive framework. So putting in the bare minimum to achieve basic MVVM made sense because we couldn't imagine building anything without it. We also wanted to be able to service our ideas around iNavigable and so on and so forth to actually get that value add into the mix. But, you know, as is exhibited, I think we have an MVVM Lite sample that's available out on the GitHub that shows how you can easily integrate MVVM Lite into Template 10.
Yeah, that's right. And it uses a locator so you can introduce injection or anything that you want that way. So we're not an MVVM library. That was important, even though we have some of the basics. We are also not a control library. So we don't want to have a bunch of UI controls that we have to manage or that you know, have a lot of requirements around them because in the end, that's a mess for us to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But also, there are others out there that are doing a great job. We're not trying to compete with them either. This is really just how can we get a developer to first base? I mean, that's really what it is. You know, how can we just rush them out the door so they can start building their app rather than do all this basic stuff? So there are three controls.
Mm-hmm.
Are there four? There are three controls in
until we
in
find
Template
10
today. There's no four. There's no four. Their fourth one? No, there are only three. So the first one is the page header. And so that is just a uniform page header that inherits from the what's it inherit from? It inherits from command bar so that it looks like the news app. Because when it all boils down to it, we're like, what should our UI look like? Because we're gonna have some basic UI that people are gonna copy. So maybe we shouldn't create our own. Maybe we will copy from somebody else. We ended up copying from News, the News app. Mm-hmm. And that's great because it was easy to copy. And internally, I've accessed all their design specs so I could make it really, really accurate.
And everybody has it.
And everybody has it and kind of respects it because it's a nice app.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of goodness there. And all the MSN apps kind of copy it as well. And so it's a good starting point, even though there's definite difference across the MSN apps. Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Mm-hmm. So there's the page header, so you can add buttons, you can add text, you can add drop-down buttons, just like you can in News. And then there's a hamburger menu, which was a big deal because with Microsoft releasing the split view menu, they didn't release any UI with it at all and relied on the developer to implement everything.
Yeah.
And it's very redundant, very, I mean, why would you require a developer to create a clickable button? You know, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So we did all of that for you.
And there's a lot of challenges with the styling and trying to get things to echo your system styles and to behave, making sure everything's styled correctly. Because as you say, you know, you had access to the internal design guidelines for the MSN News app, which gives you clues as to what size the hamburger button needs to be, what size fonts need to be in all of those menus and so on, what all the different states are going to be for interacting with elements in that hamburger menu. And so it's fair to say it was not a trivial exercise to actually implement that.
No, just getting it to look right, so forget about behavior, right? All just take that away. Just getting it to look right was really tricky, really tricky. And we wanted to do it in a way that was as simple as possible, you know? I don't know the right way to say it. So we didn't want to make it so that every developer looked at it would never figure, you know, I don't even know what Jerry did here.
Needed to be abstracted such that we were really passing to it data structures rather than arrays of controls that people had to put in, access all of those styles and so on and so forth. We wanted to create it simple. Yeah. So you had your hamburger button info.
And you had to still support things like extra lines of code, or what if you had to put in left to right instead of right to left? So they're all the and how large is the focus? Because you can't take away the focus because that would take away accessibility, and you still want to be able to localize all the strings. So there are all these things that that's crazy if you think about it. Say, here's the split view. Go make every aspect work. And then start writing your application.
This is why we decided we didn't want to be a control library.
Who wants to maintain all of those? Once we got this done, we're like, the third control is this tiny little control called Resizer that you wrap it around a text box and allows you to resize the text box. So,
yeah. Is it limited to the text box? I think it works on a couple of other things, doesn't it?
It would work on anything. It'd work on an image. Yeah, I would work on a date picker, if that makes sense. I don't know what else. It would work on a checkbox.
The world's largest checkbox. Come here and see it in Colorado.
It would work on, let's just say it would work on any UI element, but the developer.
Why
up
would
to develop.
You want it to?
Is it wrong? Yeah, exactly. So there are those three controls, and probably that's it. I don't anticipate future controls coming in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have kind of batted around the pivot control, and whether or not we'll take, redo it so that it looks like an actual set of tabs or not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that'll
probably be in a sample rather than anything that we put.
Yeah, because there's so many requirements on the UI side. Who knows what you want your tabs to look like? And so we'll just show you how to customize them and go from there. Yeah. Actually, a lot of this already exists in the universal samples on GitHub that Microsoft has officially put out.
Shh, we're copying it.
Yeah, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So maybe we'll have a folder that says pivot sample. Click it, links over to the other.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I've got the site up right here for on GitHub here. We have 404 commits. Can you imagine? We have 404 commits. That means that you and I and Andy Wigley are the only ones who can commit to this library, and right to today at least, right? Everybody else has pull requests, even though we have this big team of that we've created so they can contribute to questions and stuff. So we have 87 pull requests. I mean, this is so active. I mean, it's insane, right? Just these tiny little things. If its border was a little smaller, it'd look right. And you're like, yeah, you're right, and done. And it's really, really awesome. And people coming in and using – people have a lot of time, it turns out. And this is sort of the dream of open source.
It is. You could We're living the dream.
Together. Yeah, that's right. And with the exception of we charge for template 10.
Yes. Don't you wish?
$15,000. Yeah, exactly. It's so many people download. Obviously, it's free.
They didn't read the README, did they?
That's right. It's actually free to use. We just get all the revenue that your app generates.
Yes. Seems reasonable. Seems fair trade.
Yeah, of course, that's not true either. I just want to make sure we all know. it's up at the if you were looking for it today to install it. Let's start with if you wanted to install the project templates, you would go to the Visual Studio Gallery, which the easiest way to go to is Tools.
Extensions and...
Extension Manager, yeah. Extension Manager inside Visual Studio, search template 10. It'll show up with a 10 with a circle around it. Mm-hmm. Install it, and now you've got brand new templates when you say File New Project.
Yep.
And two of them. And they're under the universal. Did you see that? I mean, that's the coup of the century to get it under there, so it looks... Yeah. Totally legit. That's nice. And then if that's not what you want, but you want NuGet, obviously you can just right-click projects and add NuGet reference, search for template 10, and add it there. But if you're looking for the GitHub URL, it's a little longer, and the easiest way to get to it is akams/template10, and that'll take you directly to the wiki, where we're starting with documentation and stuff on it as well.
Or if you go to Bing and just type GitHub template 10, boom, straight there.
Yeah, that's right. Template 10, if you just search template 10, it comes back with PowerPoint templates. That's so frustrating. Oh, well. But, yeah, if you say XAML template 10, it works out too. Mm-hmm. I guess a quick shout-out to all of our contributors, actually.
Yeah.
Big thank you to – so I mean, it's funny because sometimes it's just a typo, right? And so mm-hmm. You're creating 1,000 lines of code here, and you say value 1 instead of value 2 or something like that. And it comes in and fixed value 1 to value 2 for you, right? Instead of this, like, diatribe of how, you know, somebody made a mistake. And it's just mm-hmm. been like that. It's really a positive experience. Yep. And people really get the gist of what we're doing, too. And, mm-hmm. like, the way we handle dictionaries for settings and then coming in and reworking the dictionary so that it's more efficient. I mean, really cool stuff that I feel like we've really tapped into a lot of the genius of our community, of our developer community.
Well, I think what it really shows is a lot of developers really like building frameworks because I think fundamentally we're all quite lazy. We don't want to keep rebuilding the same stuff over and over. We want to solve the cool, interesting parts of building an application. Why keep writing the same thing?
Yeah, that's cynical enough. That's too bad it's true. Yeah,
I know.
What's more fun than a framework for sure? The final implementation is so boring because then users have to get involved.
I know.
That's the worst part of software.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Software is bug-free until people use it.
that's the elevator pitch for Crank 211, I think, isn't it?
There's no caveat. It says our software is bug-free.
The other is extremely small print, all in white, so you'd never see
white
it.
White on white, yeah.
It's actually large print, white on white, large print.
Yeah, we don't hide it.
All right, let's make sure. So we're still, obviously, if you want to join, the way that we're gaining contributors today is if somebody reports an issue, sometimes issues are just questions too.
Yeah.
They
wish that you could actually have a category that was questions.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh, I wish that. The free version of GitHub is pretty limited. If it's not the free version, you can go in and really tweak the crap out of it. But
that's an important one.
That would be terrific. It's because it's not an issue, right? They're just asking a question, but it looks like there's a bug in the app or in the framework all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Which we chew those up. It's amazing how quickly we burn through issues, right? They don't sit around for very long. I was on vacation last week, and they're solving themselves. I'm like, all right, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with the delete key.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I thought that said defer. That says delete.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. I got that wrong. The if you engage in the issues forum, then you automatically get invited to the contributors team, mm-hmm. and then of course that's up to you to accept or not to accept. But otherwise, how do we know what your GitHub email is? There's a whole slew of PFEs, or they're called app consultants inside Microsoft. They're all involved as well. They're all contributing. So that's all around the world. So we have some pretty high-end guys that are part of this as well. It's really fun. And so you get some real esoteric sort of fixes every once in a while, you know, because they're like, this Lambda needs to be like whatever. You know? I feel like we need to go back to our C# course that we taught.
I know,
like,
because this is 0.0033 milliseconds faster.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like the guy with the plus I versus I plus plus. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can barely measure it. You're going to have to run this for a whole hour before you can see the difference, but there's a difference.
There is a difference. Okay.
Okay. That's pretty good. Anyway, template 10, it's for developers building Windows apps targeting Windows 10. I've run it on HoloLens. I know it works. I've run it on IoT. I know it works. I've run it on phone. We know that it works. Mm-hmm. And obviously it works on the PC as well. Am I missing anything? We have not run it on Xbox.
We have not run it on Xbox. We've been trying very, very hard to get an Xbox to run it on, but have not been able to.
We will run it on Xbox very quickly, as soon as it comes up. I have run it on a Mac. It does not seem to work on a Mac. And I've run it on an Android, and Android just bricked my machine.
You, sir, are an idiot.
All right, cool. All right, Darren, thanks for all the work you've put into Template 10, and obviously your dedication to training developers and all the work you're doing on MVA. I mean, no kidding. It's fun. Obviously, next week we're going to go record another MVA together. Yeah. That's going to be fun. It's just one of many that are coming, and I think it's all very cool. Find you at crank211.com, but if they want to find you, you're on Twitter as well at Darren May, one R.
One R, that's it. That's important.
The trick. Darren May. It's not Darren May. It's Darren May, I guess.
Exactly.
I don't know. Sounds about the same.
Yes. The emphasis is on the wrong syllable.
That's right. It's the Australian spelling. The Austrian spelling.
I have a single point I'd like to raise.
If you're a developer watching this show and you'd like to contribute at Template 10, you're more than welcome to do it. You can contact me directly. I'm at Twitter as well, at Jerry Nixon, and you're more than welcome. If you'd like to use Template 10, jump in. It's ready to go. It's solid, and a lot of apps are already in the store using it. So it's a terrific framework that should bypass a lot of the boilerplate that every developer is going to write eventually. So hopefully this makes your life easier, makes your app better, makes the work you're doing a little bit happier as well. And Darren, thanks for being on Dev Radio today.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
We'll talk to you again.